bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Okay, back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, and tonight a couple of teams heading in different directions. The Orioles have lost two straight. They've lost 11 out of 13. The Red Sox, they won 10 out of 13. But, hey, the Yankees won today, so the Red Sox have to win tonight to maintain a three-game division lead over the New York Yankees. Last night, the Red Sox, well, they won another 11-inning game here last night. And they won the game last night on a wild pitch. I kid you not. Buck Showalter and Rock Kubatka when we continue with the manager's report right after this.
Rock Kubatka with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, the club back-to-back losses in 11 innings. And we've seen both extremes, eight runs scored in the one, and then your starter giving you eight scoreless in the next. That kind of when things are going bad, you kind of get those extremes where, you know, those are two winnable games. It just doesn't happen for you.
A lot of great things happened last two nights. We just come up a run short. And two quality pitchers pitching on top of their game last night. And if you didn't have a stake in it, you would appreciate that from a baseball standpoint. But Kevin and, of course, Pomerantz been doing it all year. And that's why he's in the top five in ERA. So, and then they continue to run, you know, really great arms out of the bullpen at you. And we just weren't able to mount much, as they weren't either. Our guys did a great job even after Kevin. And, they end up with a chopper that we couldn't make a defense on. And you know, our catchers did a great job of blocking a lot of pitches during the course of the game. I think it's a reminder of what a great job they do when all of a sudden one might be the difference in the game. I'm not sure if any catcher could have blocked that.
Is Kevin Gausman kind of repeating in this second half of the season what he did the second half last year? Are you seeing a lot of the same things?
Sure. I tell you, if anything, it's great that Kevin Gausman seems to be getting stronger as the season goes on. He's really in tune with his deliveries, repeating location. He's getting the ball where he needs to get it, and his fastball command, like we talked all year, has been key. If you could wish for one thing of all pitchers, and that's one thing when I talk to scouts a lot about is how important a repeatable delivery is at this level. That's why guys that, you know, maybe 89 and 92 are so successful sometimes, because they can repeat a delivery and get the ball where you're supposed to get it. And that's the difference. Big league hitters, you make mistakes, they punish you for it. But if you get the ball in the right place, you can get outs.
And, Buck, I know you see the effort and the work that's put in with this team on a daily basis and nightly basis. But do you think it's still important for fans to know that as you watch these last two games, that it isn't for a lack of effort that the team's struggling?
Of course not. And, you know, I understand. We live in a world and a society that there has to be one reason. And, one, Boston's real good, and they pitch real well. And, that's what's frustrating when you put eight up on the board, seven up on the board, that you'd like to get a W, or you get eight shutout innings, you'd like to get a W, but the other team doesn't always cooperate.
Rock Kubatka back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, Adam Jones in the lineup tonight, so I assume that he's okay after getting hit on the hand last night. I mean, that had to be a scary moment because we've seen broken bones before in those situations.
You know, I really believe a doctor a long time ago said there are good tissue guys and bad tissue guys, and that just means some guys heal quicker and some people respond to things. Adam has been just a rock of durability, and you know, it's a reminder of the guts it takes to get in there against a guy who's got a great breaking ball, striking out people at a historic rate, and all of a sudden he rushes one in there that you can't budge on if you're going to go out there and get any pitch covering the plate, and then it hits him, and you know, he continues to play.
Manny Machado and Tim Beckham not in the lineup tonight. Is this rest or is there something else?
Tim Beckham had an abscessed tooth and had it removed, been bleeding a lot all day. We're probably he's not available tonight. We knew that was going to happen some point today. He's been battling it. And Manny's really sick. Something's been going around our clubhouse for quite a while, and guys have been playing through it. We've got three guys in the top 10 in at-bats. So I think sometime we need to step back and think about how thankful we are that we have people that post up like that. Manny is really, you know, he's sick today, and he shouldn't play, and we'll see if he gets any better as the game goes on. But it's a reminder to everybody out there that there's a lot of things I don't broadcast that these guys work through every day, and other teams too. It's part of a job that, you know, I'm sure people out there know what it's like to go to work not 100%, but these guys are playing every day, 7 days a week, traveling around the country. And the game doesn't stop, and the expectations don't stop just because you're sick or have a swollen joint or whatever. You know, these guys post up and play through it, and our medical team does a great job with it. And we're waiting on a few things to find out. I know Zach had – we're doing exit physicals now where they take some MRIs and some x-rays, and they take some blood work and make sure that something doesn't show its head in the off season too close to spring training to fix. So we're waiting to see about Zach's status for the rest of the year.
And you've got, you know, facing Chris Sale tonight. It just doesn't get any easier, obviously. The Red Sox keep bringing out these starters. When this guy's on top of his game, I mean, how big a challenge is that?
Well, that's one of the reasons why the Red Sox can run out seven or eight relievers on a given night, because they've got Pomerantz and Sale sitting there that they know, they feel real confident they're going to get deep in the game. So we'll have to pitch well tonight. And, you know, we've been very competitive against him in the past, but it'll be a challenge.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Not tonight. The Orioles and the Red Sox about to close out a three-game series. And how does Jim Palmer feel about the way things are going right now? Going to find out when Jim and Jim get together on the warm-up show next on the Orioles Radio Network.
It is a beautiful night for baseball in Baltimore. Orioles and Red Sox conclude this four-game series. Yesterday, Kevin Gausman, outstanding. Eight shutout innings gave his team a chance to win. Red Sox pulled it out 1-0 in 11. What did Jim Palmer think of Kevin Gausman and Gausman's development? Jim Palmer up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Red Sox, finale of the three-game series here at Camden Yards tonight, and talking pitching with Jim Palmer. And Jim, last night Kevin Gausman had everything working. How is it that over the course of a year you'll have games like last night, but then other parts of the year or other starts you tend to struggle?
Well, I thought his quote in the morning paper was pretty good. He said, you know, sometimes you try a little bit too hard. What did Mike Flanagan, I know you probably work with Mike, he used to say sometimes you have to try easier. But again, if you go back and look at the circumstances, great finish last year. I think he learned a lot, not only about pitching at this level, but he learned a lot about himself. So, you know, you start out the year, Tillman's your number one guy with 16 wins. He has a shoulder problem, so you're pitching opening day. And he pitched pretty well that day. But, you know, maybe thinking you're the number one guy and trying too hard. And I think another thing is, I always thought the great thing of, and one of the great challenges of baseball is that whether you win 20 games or, in his case, you know, having the great second half, I mean, he ended up 9-12, but pitched a lot better than that last year. ERA, what, about 3.8, or actually maybe a little lower than that, didn't get a lot of run support, is they take away all those things. You know, take away the 20 wins when you win 20 games. So you got to start all over. So I think, you know, the fact early on he really struggled, yet the Orioles got off to a 22-10 start. So there's a little bit of an inconsistency there. But as the season has progressed, he's made some adjustments. He's moved over on the pitching rubber from the third base side to the first base side. It gives him a better angle to the outside corners. You know, last year he struggled more against right-handed batters. Same thing this year. So now all of a sudden, the ability, I mean, squared up his shoulders. Felt like he, when he was into his windup, especially when you're that far towards third base, he was actually kind of going into the third base dugout, which is fine if you know anybody over there, and it's your home dugout. But a lot of times, here at Camden Yards, it's not. So he made some adjustments, and I just think, number one, he's pitching better. That brings more confidence. Number two, this is what, his fourth year and probably third year as a starter. I think you get more confidence, and you just feel like you want to do what you're supposed to do, which is give your team a chance to win pretty much every time out.
Now, you mentioned last year he finished strong, and he did. And in his last 16 starts this year, going back to his final start in June, he's 8-3, and his ERA is 3.03 in those 16 starts. So for a second consecutive year, he's finishing strong. What is it about that breakdown where – obviously, you can't just make it happen, but why is it with a pitcher of that quality, the consistency is what has been a struggle?
Well, you know, I think a lot of the things he talked about, the fact that I try too hard, grip pressure is a really, I used to go to the Hall of Fame and I'd be sitting across from Billy Williams, who had Roger Hornsby as hitting instructor, and he'd talk about, Roger told him you had to hold the bat kind of like Cal did, where you're holding a bird, you don't want to hurt it, versus some guy, I mean, Ernie Banks would be there, and they said he's almost, his hands were so relaxed, like he was playing the flute, so he didn't have a lot of grip pressure, you know, swinging a bat. I learned just personally, one year I got in one of those roles where I think I pitched 33 in the third or two-thirds inning scoreless games, innings in a row, and all of a sudden I give up three runs, four runs, three runs. I'm looking at film, and all it was probably grip grip pressure. Didn't pitch poorly, just didn't pitch as well as I did. So I think a lot of times you got to learn yourself. You know, he's made the adjustments. And, you know, this season's going to end in, another 10 days or so. And he's going to have to figure it out again when you get to 2018. But that's part of the deal. And I think you learn, Jim. I don't care how much money you pay. I don't care, you know, high bonus, you know, number, four guy out of LSU, you know, in the draft, and they give you a bunch of money. You just have to learn yourself. You have to know what you have to do, and then you have to go out and do it. And, you know, it's not an easy year to pitch. The ball is more lively than ever. You know, balls are flying out of the ballparks. They just set the all-time home run record in one season, and you still got a bunch of games to go. So, and he also pitches at Camden Yards, which is a very hitter-friendly ballpark.
Finally, there are certain pitchers that tend to do well against certain teams. And there was an interesting note in the history of the Orioles franchise, six innings or more and no runs against the Red Sox. You did it six times. Mike Cuellar did it four times. Kevin Gausman has now done that four times. So is that just a matchup thing where those hitters against his stuff doesn't play well for them?
No, I mean, to me, it's, well, I think it's funny. His stuff plays well against everybody if he makes his pitches. That's what he was able to do. You know, this Red Sox team that he shut out last night is the same team that had a six-run inning. Now, you know, they came out. You know, they're down 6-1 against Dylan Bundy. You know, and Dylan, you know, it's funny. Self-assessment's a big part of, you know, being the type of pitcher either Gausman or Bundy is. And, you know, Bundy, you know, looked at Tillman, I think, after the second inning. He said, boy, I'm getting away with a lot of pitches. That was not the case with Kevin Gausman. You know, Gausman knows how to pitch. He's in great shape. He's a wonderfully gifted pitcher. You know, his splitter is a strikeout ground ball pitch. You know, he's got anywhere from 93 to 98. And then, you know, his slider's been a lot better. So he's got three pitches. Now, you know, and again, you don't always have to have all three of them. You just have to have more than one. Or if you don't have the other two, just have great command. So I think we've seen all those things come together. So again, you know, it's allowed him to have a great finish. And not going to the playoffs, it doesn't appear. He's going to have to figure out how to do it again in 2018. And that's what kind of fueled, at least it fueled me, because, as I said, they take away last year, and you got to figure out how to do it again in 2018.
Well, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards. And the usual ending here tonight with the Orioles winding up in the loss column again. So the bad news is that they were beaten again tonight by a score of 9-0. I guess the good news is was that they did it in nine innings. The last two losses had come in 11 innings. Very frustrating indeed. Well, tonight, it was all about the Red Sox as they score nine runs on a total of 10 hits. They hit a couple of two-run home runs. And it was all about Chris Sale, tall left-hander who tonight became a 17-game winner. And when a game started, he needed exactly 13 strikeouts to get to 300 and get in those history books. And 13 strikeouts is exactly what he got. So he is now a 17-game winner, and he is tied with Corey Kluber for the lead in victories in the American League. Well, Chris Sale began his game with a 1-2-3 first inning with a couple of strikeouts. In fact, this was a pretty good game until the top of the fourth inning. Chris Sale had another strikeout in the second, but then he got a double play ball. In the third inning, he got two more strikeouts. In a nothing-nothing game. Then Wade Miley got to a decent start tonight, but then came the fourth inning when he had to throw 41 pitches and wound up giving up four runs. It all began on a Benintendi single. And then Mookie Betts came up to hit. Mookie did what he usually does at Camden Yards.
And the 1-2 pitch, swinging a line drive deep left field. Mancini is back on it, and that ball is gone. It carries out of here. So Mookie Betts, he hits it out on a 1-2 pitch. And just like that, it is 2-0 Boston.
Yep, there you go. Mookie Betts now with 10 home runs in 19 games he has played here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. As it turned out, the Red Sox had taken the lead that they would never relinquish, but they weren't done yet. Ramirez came up, he doubled, and then after Travis struck out, that's when Devin Marrero tonight getting a start at third base while he took advantage of the opportunity.
Three hits for Boston all this inning, and they came consecutively. And the pitch, swinging a high fly ball, deep right center field. Jones back, not going to get it. That ball is gone. It's into the bleachers. Devin Marrero goes opposite field, the right center field. The second two-run home run this inning, and it's 4-0 Boston.
So there you go. Marrero, his fourth home run this season. Yeah, the Red Sox After that, they never looked back. They added to it, though, in the top of the fifth inning. One out, bases empty, when Wade Miley walked Benintendi. And then he walked Mookie Betts. Exit Wade Miley. Enter Mike Wright to go to work on Hanley Ramirez. And now Ramirez waits in count 2-1, and Mike Wright, he delivers. Breaking ball hit hard into the left field corner. That's going to be extra bases. It's on the track. It's up against the wall. So here's Benintendi coming in. Now Mookie being waved in, and J.J. holds it. No relay. And Ramirez winds up at second base, a two-run double. It is now 6-0 Boston here in the fifth inning. They were having a delightful time at that point. That was all Boston. Meanwhile, it was all Chris Sale. Mentioned two more strikeouts in the third. He got two more in the fourth inning. He got him 1-2-3 in the fifth with a strikeout. He got another strikeout in a 1-2-3 sixth. And then came the seventh inning when the Orioles maybe had their best chance to score, as Trey Mancini led the inning off with a double. And after Scope became Chris Sale's 10th strikeout victim tonight, that's when Adam Jones would single. So the Orioles had runners on first and third with only one out. But then Castillo struck out, and then Trumbo struck out, and the inning was over. Sale had recorded 12 strikeouts in the first seven innings. Now, we thought that he might make his exit at that point, but that didn't happen because Sale came out for the eighth. He needed just one strikeout to get to 300. When he got Davis on a ground out, he got Hardy on a ground out, out number two. And then Ryan Flaherty came up to hit. Well, Sale got into a two-strike count, and that's when Chris Sale entered the history books. Well, Sale, again, just one strike away from getting in the history books. Ryan Flaherty trying to prevent it with a count of 2-2. Sale's got 12 strikeouts tonight as he delivers, and Flaherty takes a called strike three. And there it is, Chris Sale in the history books. He becomes the 14th pitcher in the history of the game to have a 300 strikeout season. He gets Flaherty looking. And Chris Sale back in the Boston dugout being congratulated by his teammates. What a night. 13 strikeouts and 300 for the season. Very impressive. Indeed, very impressive. Big night for Sale, big night for the Red Sox. And I think it's safe when the game ended tonight, safe to say that in the three-game series against the Boston Red Sox, the Orioles, well, they struck out. Here comes the 3-2 pitch. Rickard swings and misses. Ball game is over. And the Orioles here tonight again in the loss column. They get swept by the Boston Red Sox. And they lose the finale 9-0. And the Orioles now have not scored a run in the last 26 innings. But the season is getting longer and longer for the Orioles right now. Yeah, and Tampa Bay, 1-4 tomorrow night. And Jim Hunter, in a moment, has got Buck Showalter as we continue with the postgame show right after this.
Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards, where the Red Sox complete the three-game sweep of the Orioles. They win it tonight by a final of 9-0, so the Orioles have lost three in a row. They have lost 6 of 7. They have lost 12 of 15. And since their seven-game winning streak, they are now 5-15 in the 20 games since that streak came to an end in the first game of the Blue Jays series on the last homestand. Now, as a result of this win, the Red Sox remain three games up on the Yankees for the top spot in the AL East. The Red Sox magic number to clinch a playoff berth is reduced to 1. If the Angels lose tonight at home, Boston is in the postseason. And the Red Sox record to clinch the division title over the Yankees has been reduced to 8. Now, the Yankees did keep pace today again as they beat Minnesota to complete a three-game sweep. So while the Red Sox were sweeping the Orioles here, Minnesota was swept by the Yankees, 11-3 the final there. Minnesota had an early 3-0 lead, but the Yankees got back-to-back home runs from Judge and Sanchez to tie the game. D.D. Gregorius later would hit his 25th home run, which establishes a new record, most home runs by a Yankee shortstop in their franchise history. He had tied Derek Jeter when the Orioles were in New York over the weekend with his 24th, but now he has 25. So the Yankees, with a six-run bottom of the fourth inning, broke that open, and the Yankees beat Minnesota by the final of 11-3. So the Yankees' magic number to clinching a playoff spot is reduced to four with their win. And the Yankees' lead over the Minnesota Twins is now seven games for the number one spot in the wild card. Minnesota at the moment is holding a game lead on the Angels, but the Angels can pull within a half game with a win tonight. Now, the Angels are at home in Anaheim in the Big A against Cleveland, and the Indians have a 1-0 lead, still batting in the top of the second after the Indians won the opener of that series last night. Jason Kipnis with an RBI double in the top of the second got that run in. So the Indians with a 1-0 lead on the Angels, if the Angels somehow could pull that out, they would pull within a half game of Minnesota for the number two wild card spot in the American League. Now, Texas still has hopes. They're two below 500 at 74-76. They are 3.5 back. Texas is in Seattle tonight. They're in the bottom of the second, no score there. The Rangers and the Seattle Mariners. Seattle is four games back, a half game back of Texas in that chase for the wild card. Right here, the Red Sox over the Orioles by a final of 9-0. So the Red Sox win at 9-0. Time to hear from the skipper now. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
What's up?
Just a case of Sale being on top of his game and what he can do.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, it's pretty obvious. He's, you know, the best pitchers in the game. And a couple of them, the fact that, you know, we're not really operating on all cylinders offensively, that's for sure. That's you end up with a shutout. No, he's... You know, if it wasn't for the other team and beating you, it's always something to watch as far as being able to operate at that level. You know, now he's got the changeup that he's real confident in too. Didn't miss location much and go up, go down, breaking balls. You know, you got to cheat so much with the fastball. And his angle, that's what a lot of people miss about pitchers. Some guys are 6'5", 6'6", and don't take advantage of their angle. Some guys are shorter and do, but he's got a great angle. It's a release that you don't see. It's tough to simulate and prepare for.
Kind of a broken record, but just command issues again for Wade.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like, you know, for instance, some of the, you watch him pitch and you don't see, you know, some of the command that Tanner had a challenge with. He's, you know, at this level with power being such a challenge for pitchers, you know, you're always trying to pitch. It seems sometimes you get defensive, but, you know, we walked, what, five or six guys tonight? That certainly doesn't help anything, but started off well. Just, you know, like the second time through the order, you know, he really wasn't able to get the ball where he was getting it earlier.
Do you think, I mean, I was going to ask you just that. I've seen a couple of guys in the same situation. Do you think it's about the second time in the order, or do you think it's about him having a little misfortune and things just going spiraling out of control? Just well, yeah. The error, and then, you know, he got away with a line drive, and then he came back, and it was just...
Yeah, you know, when sometimes you take advantage of a line drive at somebody for a double play, and you take advantage, and then on the flip side of that, when someone would make an error behind you, you know, you're able to make it not... There's always a price to pay for defensive chance, you know, miscues, because, you know, you throw more pitches, you have to go to the tank more, you have to... maybe you're going to bring in a guy for more outs than normal. There's always, why we try to play such a premium on it here, is that there's a price to pay for errors especially. And outs are out there that we don't get. But, you know, that's, you know, as good a club as Boston is, you can't give them those type of opportunities. You know, they do enough earning it.
What did you think of Tanner Scott?
As advertised, about like I thought it would be. Slider's come a long way for him, and can imagine all the he didn't his presentation was good, he didn't show it, but he's always been that type of guy. That's one thing that was intriguing about him. And you know, it's unfortunate the very first hitter is almost trying to defend himself and get out of the way and blocks it to right field, but you're going to get that. And it's also a huge, we talk about the huge jump in pitching that you face up here, you also face a lot better hitters that, you know, the strength factor comes into play a lot more. They fist some balls out over there, and they don't try to do too much and get big. That's why the slider is going to be a big pitch for him as he goes forward. But I'm glad that we had an opportunity that he could get out there. You know, I didn't want to pitch a ninth then. I had to make sure he had some coverage behind him in case he had some of the challenges that he had. I wish that first guy wouldn't have, you know, broke his bat to right field. Might have created a little less anxiety for him.
Can you hear anything about Brenton's MRI?
Yeah, I think what we're going to end up doing, I think he's going to get injection more and see where we are in 3 to 5 days. Not cortisone, it's the, well, you guys know as much as I do, it's the platelets or the blood.
I think so.
Will you double check that, make sure we're not giving the wrong information? I think the plan now is to do that and then see where we are in 3 to 5 days on a lot of different fronts.
So there's still a chance that he would pitch?
3 to 5 days, we'll see where we are on a lot of different fronts and see how he is physically and where we are as a team.
Buck, you have 9 games left. Do you anticipate that all of your starters will at least make one more start the rest of the way?
I don't. We're taking it day to day. We got Amar and Jimenez, and we know where we're going to go on Saturday with Hellickson. And we can make some changes with that depending on what best serves, you know, our players and our organization. So I know we're committed to those 2 to 3 games and see where we are after that. So past that, I really wouldn't commit to it. We'll adjust it as we go. We have people, you know, everybody's available right now, exception of Zach, for 3 to 5 days. Okay, thank you.
The postgame comments of Buck Showalter as the Red Sox complete the 3-game sweep, shutting out the Orioles 9-0, and the Orioles' scoreless streak now has reached 26 consecutive innings. They have not scored a run since the 5th inning in Monday's game, a game they eventually would lose in 11 innings. 26 consecutive innings now without a run as they lose here tonight by a final of 9-0.